Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. A big shout-out to Jiffy Lube, who sponsors the show. Thank you, everybody, listening on ESPN 1320 AM. Everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Maybe you're listening on the free Odyssey app. Or maybe you're listening to the podcast of James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show, the podcast version of this show. However you listen or watch the program, we appreciate you immensely. The Kings didn't play last night, but they did get a little bit of help. And here's how. So, Golden State beat the heck out of the Mavericks. 126-102, the final there. The Kings are now a full game and a half back of Golden State. They're two back of the Mavs, though. So, again, striking distance. You win a few in a row, you're right back in the mix. The Clippers also lost. So, dropping that threshold for the number six seed. They lost 129-111 to the Indiana Pacers. The Timberwolves lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 130-123, the final there. Minnesota just two games up on the Kings. So again, this is where if you're looking for some optimism and some silver linings, man, if they do figure this thing out, even they don't even need to get to their ceiling. If they just get up off whatever their floor is that they're currently at, like, man, you're win 6 out of 8. And you're maybe in the 7 seed. And everything looks way different.
Yeah, I think this thing can take care of itself, right?
Fingers crossed.
I think either way it will, whether it's winning or losing. Like, we'll know pretty quickly whether this, whether they're going to be in it, whether they're going to have a shot at fighting through, or whether they're a team that's just imploding and we're going to, like, see how it all pans out in the end. But, like, you know, you're talking about a lottery team again, and it's a mess.
So I don't know that they'll, I mean, maybe, who knows down the stretch, but they would have to implode pretty badly because the Spurs also lost last night to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Got smoked by New Orleans. 114-96 was the final there. The Spurs are now 3.5 games back of Sacramento, and they just lost Victor Wembanyama for the year. I don't think there's a run coming from San Antonio. Like even less than I did before.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that they do have going for them is that you play them coming up. Mm-hmm. You know, De'Aaron Fox is going to return to Sacramento here in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I also think that they're at a very, very close point where, you know, you're probably looking at shutting down Fox at any point. Mm-hmm. You know, they lost, again, you brought up the score, 114-96. In that game, De'Aaron Fox shot 3 of 16 from the field and 1 of 7 from 3. He scored 13 points. He had 7 rebounds and 5 assists. But, yeah, that pinky, one way or another, has to have surgery on the pinky this summer. In addition to De'Aaron Fox going 3 of 16, Chris Paul went 1 of 10, and Devin Vassell went 1 of 9 in the starting
Golly.
Game. Yeah, so those three guys shot 4 for 35, 5 for 35. You're not going to win any games when that happens, when three of your starters do that.
Yeah.
So, like, look, I think that that team is going to have a tough time scraping and staying in it, right? But that's where the Kings, like, the advantage is. Like, you do have some teams down below you that don't really want to be in there.
Yep.
That aren't in it to win it. And you're wondering whether the Suns are one of those teams or not. And that's the one team that I circle and say, okay, if there's a team that's going to catch him, it's the Suns. Mm-hmm. But then
they lost to the Raptors last night, 127-109.
So the answer is probably
they've
not.
Lost 3 in a row now?
It's probably not.
Any 3 out of 4? Yeah, Phoenix is just not playing well.
No.
The trade deadline was weird for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're only a game and a half back of Sacramento. But I don't. Could be the saving grace for the Kings.
That no one else wants it?
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Is it just nobody catches them? Like, no. maybe they just take ownership of the 10 seed, and maybe that's how this season goes. Are the Suns going to at some point win a bunch in a row?
No, I strangely enough, I feel like Portland is the one team that has like outwardly said, hey, we're not tanking. We're going to try to win as many games as possible. And they're the one team that's kind of been like, okay, but then they just lost four in a row after they had won a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd strung together the stretch where they went 10-1 over 11 game stretch. And now they've lost 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so like maybe that team will show up. Maybe they won't. But I definitely think the Kings are in a situation where they could probably back into a play-in spot at this point. It won't feel good. And it's not like you're going to do anything with that play-in spot. But
sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you make the play-in, you get hot for a couple of games, you can make the playoffs that way.
Okay.
So if anything goes.
Where OKC is waiting for you.
Right. I'm not saying they're going to go win a round, but I mean, if the Kings played, so if the standings held, you'd have to beat Golden State, and then you'd have to beat one of Dallas or Minnesota.
Okay.
So it's, again, not something I'd probably bet on, but it's...
Yeah, I think the best thing for the Kings would be if somehow they find a way to get up to 8, so there's a possibility for them to win the first game. Move into the 7th seed, so where you would play Denver at this point.
Denver or Memphis, yeah.
Yeah, Denver or Memphis.
Yeah.
And I mean, at least you would have a series, like you might be able to go 4-2 or something. Well, I mean, 2-4. I think you're going to lose either way, but at least you might win a game or two. Where if you're playing OKC, I think you get swept.
We're being so optimistic. Look at us.
Yeah.
Look at us go.
There's a possibility. we're saying there's a chance. And look, hey, they just had 2 days of practice.
Yeah.
Again, 4 practices in the last 5 days.
Yep.
Mixed in the middle, they got clubbed by the Golden State Warriors.
That's fine.
But that's at least another day where you're actually on the court trying to work out some things. And I think if nothing else, that game against Golden State, it shined like a giant spotlight on a lot of your issues. And then you had some tough conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And those tough conversations, they have to happen. Like, it doesn't, like, these behind closed door meetings that somehow leak out, like, they have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to get better here and you're, like, the goal is to win, I think that's the one thing that the Kings have going for them, that the goal is actually to win, because a lot of these other teams, their goal is not to win. And they're just going through the motions, hoping and praying that they lose games.
Yeah.
And if you're the Kings, you're like, okay. Like, again, Utah's not just going to lay down. They still play. They still have veterans, but you got to go beat Utah. You got to beat Charlotte. You got to beat these teams that aren't very good.
And I'm agreeing with what you're saying. As much as I don't think the Kings have a cohesive roster, and I would not pick them to necessarily win a playoff series if they made it that far, I also don't think that this is going to get so bad that they lose 10 in a row. I think they have enough talent to be competitive on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you needed to hit that low spot against Golden State where you just got embarrassed at home. Maybe that's what they needed to wake up. But man, it's just really hard to bet on.
Yeah. I'd even say
at this point,
like right now, the Kings, they're in the lottery. They're the number 13 seed.
Oof.
If their pick is top 12 protected. So yeah.
Oof. What's their biggest problem right now?
As far as
like
the team?
You have to write down a list of problems. What's number one on the list?
I think it's
like if you could snap your fingers and this thing is fixed right now.
I think it's just continuity. Like that's the biggest thing. Like the players don't know how to play together. And again, people can say, well, you know, Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan played together for the last, you know, 3 years in Chicago. They know how to play together. But that doesn't mean that they know how to play with Malik Monk and with Domantas Sabonis and with Keegan Murray and with Jake LaRavia and with Jonas Valanciunas and all and Trey Lyles. Like there is a disconnect. Keon Ellis, like there, you have to figure out how to like not be selfish, and then other times be selfish, but have it be selfish in the right way. And I don't think that this team right now, they don't have a voice on the court that is willing to put someone else in check and say, hey, look, we're doing something else now. Because, mm-hmm. like, we've talked about this so many times. Like, the Kings have a basic offense, right? And they run their sets. But there's not a ton of play calls that are being made by the mm-hmm. coaching staff. Like, there are certain play calls that a point guard is doing, like Malik Monk. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But overall, as a team, because the speed they want to play at, it's really like read and react. But it's within a system.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the players don't know the basics of the system. And so hopefully after this like stretch of practice, they're going to have a better idea of that. But I also think that they probably went through practice at the end of the All-Star break. They had those two practices and they probably went through like, hey, let's do this and this and this. They're working on some specific things. They get to the Golden State game and realize that, oh, no. We can't add in more now. We need to back up. We need to go back to like very rudimentary. Like, here is what you do. This is where you go. Now let's get into some sort of flow and then start building it from there. You know, each week you add another element or two, or some of the players that have been there together, they might be able to add an element that's different and, mm-hmm. you know, and like just a group of three of them on the court. But overall, I think Doug is looking at everything possible right now, including lineup changes. Like sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to back up.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that backing up process is to go, okay, the one ingredient could be not like the play sets are too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
The player that I'm putting in that play set is too complicated.
Sure.
So I need to pull that player out and I need to put in a player who's less complicated as a player. Keon Ellis is very like he's easy to fit into every puzzle. And he is because he shoots the ball when it gets passed to him.
Does it confidently.
He does. And he plays really good defense and he's switchable and everything else. So mm-hmm. there isn't a bunch of crazy stuff he's doing. Now, do you lose a secondary ball handler? Yeah, you do, mm-hmm. which is something that this team may or may not need. I don't know. Whether it's DeMar DeRozan going to the bench or it's Malik Monk or it's Zach LaVine, like whatever it is, I think there is a possibility that we see them strip it down. And I would like start with Malik Monk and Keon Ellis in the backcourt, flip a coin on who's going to start the small forward spot. And then, you know, Domas and Keegan, because that is at least four players that know how to play together. And then when you add in the other pieces, there is a flow that's already happening. And so you're not asking players to like develop some sort of system together. Mm-hmm. They're just filling in for the guy that just went out of the game.
Yeah.
But,
The thing I would fix is the turnover stuff, man. They're turning it over a lot. And that to me, you had 24 against Golden State, 15 before that, 11, 21, 18, 11, 19, and 12. So not all terrible.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, the game that they had 11, they had 10 in the first half.
Right.
And then they had a coming to Jesus talk at halftime and stopped turning the ball over.
Yeah.
But you can't keep having that talk every game.
Right.
It's just like the players eventually, like, they tune it out. They're not listening to that specific thing.
Yeah. I think if they're not turning the ball over, I think it's a sign of more cohesion offensively. Because there's a couple of games where it's just guy cuts the wrong way or doesn't cut when a player thinks he's going to, or trying to fit a pass into a window that like, okay, nope, can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not, you know, just learning each other, learning the intricacies of what each player does on offense. And I think if you're solving that, you're solving the scoring stuff.
Yep.
But B, you're also solving a lot of their defensive issues.
Yeah.
Where, you mentioned it earlier, when they're turning the ball over on offense or they're not knocking down shots on offense, you see it start to impact their defense. Like you feel it, like comes through the screen or comes off the floor.
Yeah, they're not even giving us an opportunity to say that their defense is horrible.
Yeah, right.
It's not. I mean, like again, the Warriors game. What do they have? Fast break points. 17 fast break points for the Warriors. But again, it's the points off a turnover. So even if it's not a fast break point,
mm-hmm.
it's still transition offense. It's mm-hmm. still getting into somebody else is getting into their offense and scoring on you before you're established and set up. Mm-hmm. And there's just no way to win doing that. Like, and I'd say the Kings even, they shot 50.6% from the field in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had 26 assists in that game mm-hmm. against the Warriors. But you can't survive with 24 turnovers. And like 19 of them were in actual gameplay, not like the last 6 minutes or eight right. minutes when they brought in a bunch of players that, you know, hadn't played together. I mean, Markelle Fultz ends up having like 3 turnovers late in the game.
Right.
Like those aren't the turnovers you're worried about. The turnovers you're worried about are the 19 that happen, you know, between in the first like 40 minutes of the game.
Their turnover rate since the trade deadline is last in the NBA. 16.5%.
Yeah.
Their assist to turnover ratio is 1.58. That is second to last.
It's just
in the NBA.
Crazy.
Just stop giving the ball away. You solve a lot of your issues.
Yeah. Well, that and like I'll say, like some of the turnovers are like so specific. Like you're watching Malik Monk and Domantas Sabonis trying to do their pick and roll from the left side, not the right side.
Right.
And again, we talked about that's how Malik right. Loves to drop the right hand to the left mm-hmm. of Sabonis. Yeah. Tough.
We'll keep this conversation going. Because I don't think the Kings' problems are going away overnight. Maybe they will. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about keys to victory for the Kings tonight, and then we'll have the handoff coming up in about half an hour. More, closer to half an hour than 20 minutes. That's James Hammond, Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center. All right, James is there. I'm Kyle. Kings, Hornets, tonight, Golden 1 Center. You have to win this game.
Yeah, I don't want to know what tomorrow's show is like if they don't win this game.
Buddy. Same. You got it.
That would be not fun.
It would not be a good time.
Yeah.
My hope for tonight, and we'll have keys to victory here. So if the Kings are listening, which we established earlier that they are, if they follow our steps, they're cruising. And that would be a much more enjoyable program than, oh my God, they lost to the Hornets.
Yep.
And it's all about the urgency for me, man. Like, we're talking about that a little bit at the break. That's just, in fact, you know what? I'm going to start keys today. You usually start keys. I'll start keys today.
We'll just mix it up.
Because number one for me is act like you need it.
Mm.
Play with the appropriate force. Play with the appropriate urgency. I know New Orleans stinks. Excuse me. Charlotte. I know that Charlotte stinks. I'm there. The Kings are at least one, maybe two tiers above them. Treat this game like it's game 7 of the finals.
Oh, yeah.
Boston, Charlotte, Washington, OKC, doesn't matter. This tonight needs to be played by the Sacramento Kings as though their entire season rides on this game, because it kind of feels like it does.
To be honest with you, it probably does. Like the numbers, like down the stretch, like if you mm-hmm. don't win games against 14-win teams, you literally have twice as many wins as this team. You're underperforming, and you have twice as many wins on the season as this team.
Yep.
They have 14. You have 28.
They have 14 wins. 1-4.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's really bad. And a bunch of their good players are out. Mark Williams, apparently out tonight.
Oh, Mark Williams is out now, too? Yeah.
Not a stunner.
All right.
Happens a lot.
It does. But it's a shame that, like, they...
Probably Yusuf Nurkic starting.
They bounced his medical there in L.A. But... Tough. Here he is not being able to play. Okay.
You got just, I need, to, at just, I would love to see them come out and throw haymakers early and then keep throwing haymakers
mm-hmm.
and just give us a 48-minute sample of like, hey, here's the good version of this team. Number one for you.
Stop turning the ball over.
Please.
Just so basic. Like it is. Like, if you want to, it doesn't matter what level of basketball you play at, if you don't turn the ball over, you got a good shot at winning. I mean, it is what it, even if you're not making a bunch of shots, this team's one of the better rebounding teams in the league. That doesn't even matter. just stop turning the ball over. Mm-hmm. And if you do turn it over, get back. Don't compound your mistake by dropping your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see it all the time in like soccer. The worst thing you can do is miss a shot on goal and then stand there with your head down. The ball goes back to the other side. Then you're offsides the whole time because you got your head down and you didn't go get back. Like, get back, play. And that's where this team really has to figure it out. Like, you turned it over again. Okay, go get it back. Go fight. Show something.
Yeah.
And, like, it's pretty rudimentary, but this team does need to figure that out.
Yeah, and it's the ones, if Zach LaVine fakes like he's going to cut and then doesn't, and Malik throws a bounce pass to where he was going to cut, hey, you know what? You can get that figured out. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, here's kind of the little head signal I use. Whatever it is, like, that you can it's the ones where they're just throwing it over somebody's head, or the pass is down at their feet, or they throw it into traffic, or it's like that's a preventable play.
On time and on target. Doug keeps saying it. On time and on target. That's what your pass should be.
Yep. Yep.
Like, the game of basketball has a rhythm.
Yep.
Like, find the rhythm of the game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number two, don't stop moving on offense. Charlotte's defense is not terrible. Just get some motion going offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop the standing around. I don't care if it's one person dribbling the air out of the ball. Just make sure there's constant movement. That's my second.
Got to stop watching.
You have enough guys who can put the ball in the hoop that you're going to score.
Yep.
Just don't want the stand and watch.
Brutal stuff.
Number two.
Get back to basics on both ends of the court.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basics. Just do the basics. Don't try anything crazy. Just get into basic pick and rolls. Get into basic DHOs. Just move. Circle through the key. Get to the other corner. Everyone rotates over. Like, Doug said that there were a couple of times where he's like, we had three guys on one side of the court. He's like, there are even times where we had four guys on one side of the court. He's like, you know how many play sets we have where four guys are supposed to be on one side of the court?
Zero?
Zero is the answer. Just get back to basics. Like, we don't even know what this team looks like defensively because they're caught in transition. They're turning the ball over too much. Like, give yourself an opportunity by relying on the basics of the game.
The line has ticked a point towards the Kings, by the way. They're now favored by 11.5.
I think it's because you talked about
it. I'm taking that, too.
You're taking that,
too. Give me all. I will give all 11.5 points.
All right.
Number three for me, ours are a little bit related.
Okay.
So what is your number three?
My number three is make someone other than LaMelo Ball beat you.
I agree with that.
Yep.
I'm on the same page. But at the same time, you can't let Miles Bridges start getting downhill.
Mm.
Because that is a big athletic dude that you're going to have a hard time guarding.
Yep.
And if you're doubling LaMelo and it gets to Miles Bridges, he can get downhill and do some damage. And all of a sudden they're going to the free throw line. And all of a sudden you're in foul trouble. And all of a sudden the spray threes are available. And this bad three-point shooting team is all of a sudden making 17 threes.
This is a game realistically where if you were ever going to make a change in the starting lineup, that Keon Ellis defending LaMelo Ball and Keegan Murray defending Miles Bridges would be like, that would be playing to your strength.
Correct.
And helping your team.
Correct.
Whether that's going to happen or not, I have no idea.
I would be stunned.
Well,
I think Doug did the meeting with the starters as a, like, this is your last chance, and then we're going to make some changes. So you go out, you win this one, and like, oh, okay, we're good. Everything's settled now. And you can kick the hard conversation with a Hall of Famer for the $43 million guy or the sixth man who's now starting, going back to the bench. It's a hard conversation with either one of those three guys.
Yep.
But you get to kick the can down the road.
I get that. But at the same time, like, what is it if you beat Charlotte and then you beat Utah? Is that really what you need to see? I mean, you have to have those wins, but that doesn't prove anything.
But it allows you to go, if you get asked, it allows you to go, well, we've won, like, we're starting to win.
Yep.
That's all that matters. That W on the left side of the ledger. W for the Kings. It's all that matters.
That does.
So, got to go get a win tonight, man. I think they do. I'm taking I said 11.5, Kings minus 11.5.
Mm-hmm.
Let me do some quick math here. Kings 121, Hornets 107. 121-107.
Yeah, I was going to say like 124-109.
All right. We both have them covering the 11.5.
Yeah.
Probably going to regret that tomorrow, but whatever. Can't wait to break it down on the Insiders starting at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento sports leader. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Can't wait. Kings Hornets tonight. We'll dive into that with you tomorrow right here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento sports leader. I remember what I wanted to ask you about. Putting the pin in the Kings stuff real quick. Joel Embiid is getting a second opinion on his knee problem that has been injured since last year, and then he played in the Olympics this summer, and they also gave him a 3-year, $280 million extension.
Kajillion dollar
whatever,
extension.
Whatever the insane number was. You asked the question, are we watching the beginning of the end for a former MVP? I think we watched it in the playoffs last year.
Watching
him drag himself around the court.
Yeah.
Like doing whatever he could to get a win. This is not a knock on Joel Embiid. He was toughing it out. He wanted to be out there for his team. He was dealing with whatever the disease he had.
A Guillain-Barré, right? Didn't he have something with Bell's palsy?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I believe it was that.
Yeah, yeah.
But he also had the knee thing. He's dragging himself around the court. He's like, man, what? And he goes out and he plays in the Olympics and he wins a gold medal and he has a huge game in the gold medal. He's like, man, look at Joel Embiid. Shout out, dude. And now he's having second opinions on his knee to see if he needs to have surgery and be done with the year. This is what needed to happen before the year started.
Yeah.
Philly needed to pull the plug on this season ASAP.
Well, they shouldn't have gone out and got Paul George. They should have. They should have done something like tried to trade him before this happened. I do like. I went to his basketball reference page.
Yeah,
he has a nickname on here that just absolutely makes me crack up.
Okay,
the Phantom of the Process.
Not one person's ever called him that. I would love to know. I know a guy who does comms for the sports reference sites.
Okay.
I'm reaching out to him today after our show, and I'm finding out what goes into, what's the nickname threshold?
Okay.
I have to know. Phantom of the Process?
It's amazing, though. I mean, I find it hilarious.
Is it because he wore the mask?
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean,
so someone's fun Twitter joke turns into his nickname on Basketball Reference.
Well, he has like six nicknames.
Right.
He has JoJo, the Process.
The 180?
Duo 180.
Duo 180. That's it.
Troll, like Troel, like Joel. And then Big Fella, which I like.
Big Fella?
Yeah.
He does not get to claim Big Fella.
No.
He doesn't get big.
I don't know.
Get that.
Somebody needs to clean this up. They need to clean up his...
You do not get to own that nickname. That is just what every large person is called.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I'm just, like, his prime, which, like, lasted...
Oh, they're big fella. Like, that doesn't mean I'm talking to Joel Embiid.
Yeah. His prime lasted, like, 4 years. And just gone. Like, it's a bummer because he's fun, and he's so talented, and he's such a character... But my goodness, he's 30 years old. He's almost 31. He's averaging 23.8 and 8.2 rebounds this season. He's only played 19 games.
Man.
It's an absolute disaster. He's shooting 30%, 29.9% from three. Like, all of it is a disaster. Now, check this out, Kyle. He makes $51.4 million this year. He makes $55.2 next year. He makes $59.5 the year after that. 64.3 the year after that.
Oh, my God.
And the year after that, Kyle, in 28-29, when Joel Embiid will be like 47, he's making $69 million. Oh, my goodness. So we're looking at his 32, 33, 34, and 35 season for a guy with bad back, knees, bad feet.
It's why I don't understand why they tried to play him this year. Like, you've paid him... So much, you are investing so much of your future in him. Why does this year matter? pull the plug. Go get surgery. Go get whatever you need. Get your time off. We're going to stink this year. We're going to be in the Cooper Flag sweepstakes, and we're going to try and revamp this thing overnight. I don't get why they're forcing him to play. Over or under 100 games for the rest of Joel Embiid's career?
Under.
I think I'd lean under, too.
Yeah.
He might get there just by virtue of playing a bunch of years and playing 20 games.
He's got four more years. He's under contract.
Four more years, so 25 games a year?
Yeah. I don't know. It's such a bummer because he's such a talented player. And again, a lot of it's like he's such a great personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to see him in the game. You want to see him around the game. And when he's great, he's just amazing. But watching him last year was like, oh, his whole body's falling apart.
And just watching him right now. Like you said, when his MVP year, he was just unbelievable. 33 points a game. Before the year before that, he was 30.6. The year before that, he was 28.5. Scoring at all three levels. Like just a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just not that anymore.
Nope.
And I don't know that a person his size with his injury history, mind you. Remember, he made his debut in the 2016-17 season. He was drafted in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
He missed the first 2 years because of injury.
Yeah, and then he only played 31 games his rookie season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Career high 68 games played in the 21-22 season when he was 27 years old.
That 2014-15, that 14 draft was not good. That was not a good draft. I remember, like, teams are like, okay, should we move up just to take Embiid because, well, it actually ends up having some...
Embiid was sick at Kansas, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, Andrew Wiggins, okay, carved out a nice little career. Jabari Parker, Kings legend, no.
Out of the league.
Joel Embiid, hurt. Aaron Gordon has carved out, a nice role.
Yeah, yeah.
Dante Exum, still in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Flying around for the Mavs right now.
Marcus Smart, Julius Randle, but
not a bad draft.
Nick Stauskas, number 8, and Noah Vonleh at number 9. Wow. Elfrid Payton at number 10, Doug McDermott at 11. Dario, man, that draft went. Oh, look, there's Zach LaVine at 13.
There's so many just like quality players here.
Yeah. I was thinking the previous draft. It's my bad. The previous draft is one of the worst drafts of all time. It's Anthony Bennett, number 1, Victor Oladipo at 2, Otto Porter at 3, Cody Zeller at 4, Alex Lynn at 5, Nerlens Noel at 6.
Golly.
Ben McLemore at 7, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 8, then Trey Burke, and then you get CJ McCollum, Michael Carter-Williams, Stephen Adams,
Kelly Olynyk. Michael Carter-Williams, one of the weirdest careers of all time.
And then, Giannis at 15.
Jeez.
Whoops, missed that one, everyone.
All right, man. We'll see. What games matter for the Kings tonight? Should we be scoreboard watching, or should we just worry about the Kings?
No, we cannot.
I'm going to scoreboard watch. I'm scoreboard watching.
You cannot scoreboard watch.
No, to hell with you guys. I'm scoreboard watching. Games that matter for the Kings tonight. The Los Angeles Clippers are at the Detroit Pistons, my Detroit Pistons.
Okay.
So the Kings, of course, rooting for the Clippers to lose that one. And the Minnesota's at OKC. You were hoping Minnesota loses as well. Again, the hope here being, all right, let's say they start figuring it out and start winning some games. You want to be able to make up some ground. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be locked in with in a battle with the Warriors for who's going to host that 9-10 play-in game. You want to try and move up, so you need teams like the Clippers and Minnesota to lose some games here. There you go. Here's your scoreboard watching.
There it is.
I'm going to be dialed. Dude.
They'll get some help.
That Clips-Pistons game is going to be on my television for sure.
All right.
I'm fired up. Can't wait. Also, quick note, RIP to one of my favorite stats of the NBA season. If you follow this program, you know that I've been obsessed with the Washington Wizards because they are historically bad this year.
Mm-hmm.
They finally have a one-possession loss on their schedule. It's big time. Big time for the Wizards. On February 21st, the streak ended. It was their 47th loss of the year and their first loss by one possession. They fell to the Milwaukee Bucks 104-101.
Oof.
This is just the kind of culture that's created when you bring in players like Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton. They're going to take you from 20-point losses to 3-point losses.
That's right.
Congratulations to the Washington Wizards and RIP to my favorite stat of the NBA season. All right, we got the handoff coming up. Damian Barling's going to join us. D'Lo and KC, they're going to rock with you from noon to 4. He'll join us here in a couple of minutes. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320. I said here too many times. Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's D-Lo, Damian Barling.
Yeah!
It's been a while since we got to use that one.
How's it going, man?
Has it really?
Turn the mic on,
stupid.
I just forget that we have these buttons.
Oh.
Anyways, I was at home all last week, so.
That's very true. Very true. Very true.
I'm trying to
say I was in here a lot last week, but that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, so we couldn't take
right,
the
right.
button.
Got you. Yeah. Got you.
How's it going, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing okay.
Feeling better?
Yeah. Physically feeling a lot better. R.E. the Kings, not feeling great.
Mentally broken.
But, yeah, mentally shattered.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more devastated.
Yeah.
No, man, it's just like trying to find like reasons for optimism moving forward here. Mm-hmm. Like that's.
There aren't any.
Well.
I'm gonna play the game for the next month and a half. Like, I want them to do well. I want them to win games. Like, I hope that they can. I'm not gonna go so far as to say I'm gonna be surprised every time they win a game. They're not at like a tear. This isn't the Washington Wizards here.
Right.
But in terms of being a basketball team that has like, there's so many things that feel wrong, and time can fix this. Great. So are we looking to like next November, October? Because especially what we saw Friday, getting that corrected, that wasn't like, oh man, they're not quite there yet. It's like, did you just learn how to play basketball? Like this, like some of the Domas DeMar turnovers were crazy.
Yeah.
Like the one is sticking out in my head because Jake and the crew at CBS was rerunning it while we were talking last night, and it's they're trying to run like a pick and roll, and DeMar runs and Domas leads him, and like DeMar stops and it's one of the 4 million turnovers that they had on Friday, and it's like time fixes that,
yeah,
practice fixes that, okay, I'll buy that.
Mm-hmm.
What about the 23 other ones?
Yeah.
What fixed it? Because you just get is Steph didn't go off, you didn't have a Draymond, 5 3-pointer game. You didn't have anything like that. You gave them so many possessions in the Warriors, regardless of them being, a championship level team or that is a championship experienced team.
Sure.
And you give them the ball that many times, they're gonna make you pay for it. 36 points off. I don't know that I've ever seen a number
38.
Like that. I don't think I've seen that number either. That is insane.
38-5.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And so I'm with you. I don't feel great. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, this team sucks every day for 4 hours. That's not what I'm going to do. But I'm also not going to be like, yeah, no, I'm not going to be your cheerleader. Like, I don't think this is a good basketball team. I think the De'Aaron Fox trade was a failure. I think they'd be better off without Zach LaVine. I understand why you make that swing.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely understand it. And when they made it, it was like, okay, I get why they did this. Mm-hmm. I've seen this in execution now. It's not going to work. Time on the floor is going to make this better. It's not going to work. Zach LaVine does not fit. Zach LaVine's a fine basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Very good basketball player. Mm-hmm. He doesn't fit with this group.
Nope.
And there's nothing you could do about it.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier. It's like you can say, oh, well, Zach and DeMar played together for 3 years. So they know, but they don't look like they played together at all. They also, you talk about the DeMar and Domas play. Those guys have played together for 60 games now or 50-something games now. That shouldn't happen, yeah. Right? But you just get into this cycle where, like, nobody feels comfortable on the court. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that DeMar and Zach have played together, but... And then you got DeMar that's played with Domas for a little while, and Keegan's played with the Domas and Malik for 3 years. Like, that doesn't matter when they have to all learn how to play together as, like, one unit, and it just doesn't seem to, mesh at all.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that Doug can somehow, like, pull this together a little bit, and you can, maybe maximize, because I think Zach LaVine has a lot of talent, and maybe you find a way to maximize that. I just don't. I don't know what the move is for this group right now. I don't. Maybe you just continue to play this out, and you, You hope that you could take advantage of the schedule because you're going to learn a lot here with Charlotte coming up in Utah. And it's no disrespect to those guys. We saw this team lose to New Orleans a couple of nights ago. Mm-hmm. Or not a couple of nights ago. It was a couple of games ago. It was a week ago.
Yeah.
And like, okay, like those, you need to win those games. Like, your season very much depends on this because if I think Phoenix is a disaster.
They're a mess.
And they hate each other.
Facts.
But if push comes to shove, can they beat Charlotte? Yeah, I think they can. If push comes to shove, can they beat Utah? I think that they can. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're going to be talking about a lot with right now, Phoenix and Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe keep your eye on Dallas and see what they look like over the course of the next, you know, 12, 13 days or so.
For sure.
And they could fall back a little bit where you see Golden State now start to creep into that 6-7-8 range. And then you've got Dallas, Sacramento, and Phoenix down there in that you know, final two spot range.
Yeah.
And which one of those teams can take advantage of this? Maybe they're not good enough to beat Minnesota. Maybe you're not good enough to beat Oklahoma City, Milwaukee, and Boston in a three-game stretch. But are you good enough to beat Utah, Charlotte, in this group that you have coming up here over the course of the next handful of games?
Yeah.
Because it's going to go, you know, you think vibes are bad now. Let OKC, you know, come into town with the opportunity to completely run away with the Western Conference. Yeah, they're going to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Boston is Boston and Milwaukee both trying to linger around, you know, top seed spots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be a little fragile basketball team hosting them at the end of March with games left, with a handful of games left on the schedule, and see if you could survive that. I'm going to bet on the tougher team, and in my mind, that's Milwaukee, that's Oklahoma City, that's Boston every time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. The thing I want, like, obviously they have to win tonight and against Utah. What is that, Wednesday?
Yeah. Wednesday? It's tonight and Wednesday.
Tonight and Wednesday. You have to win those games, but we were talking about this earlier. The bigger thing I'm looking for, more than, like, getting a W is the, like, number one thing, right?
Yeah.
I just want to see them come out and play like these games matter the amount that they do. I don't think that's asking for a lot.
Sure.
Maybe there's going to be turnovers because you're still learning how to play together. Maybe you're going to throw a bad pass. Maybe you're going to have an off shooting night. But can you go play with like the necessary force here?
Yeah.
And not act like you're 15 games over and you're just waiting for the playoffs to start?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
And if
which
they,
is a problem.
What if they and if they don't? What I fully expect is for this all to be over.
Yep.
Like this offseason, the front office is gone, which should probably happen regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I'd imagine DeMar is gone. I imagine Domas is gone. And I imagine Sacramento is looking at something that they're probably not mentally prepared for. Sacramento meaning Sacramento Kings fans.
Right.
That we got 1 year out of the Bean team, which resulted in a first-round playoff loss to the Golden State Warriors. I guess we had a high in knocking the Warriors out of the play-in, which we thought was their death. But it turns out their front office is mildly competent and knows how to turn depreciating assets for that franchise into an asset that might extend Steph just a smidge bit longer. Might. Does this play out past the year? I don't know, but I know Golden State's better now than they were 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're championship good, I don't know, but I know they're better than Sacramento.
They already won the championship.
But that's fine.
It's already been guaranteed.
Well, I've heard that. Yeah, I was watching that. And I'm fine with that. Like, I don't expect them to say anything else. And it's not his job to go win a championship. He just put all the pressure on Steph, so it's fine. And Jimmy.
Yeah. Got somebody else around it.
Yeah. They'll sit here
write that check for him.
Score my 7 points.
Cash that check for him.
Yeah, score my 7 points and keep him moving.
I think it's going to be an interesting couple of months here in Sacramento. I think it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, so one word for it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to suck.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't.
I hope so too. Like,
it's so much.
I mean,
these shows are so much more fun when they're winning, and we get to do the handoff, and then you guys get Young Zell, and we're like, yeah, hey, it's a two verse.
Well, I don't think we're ever hearing Young Zell again.
Come on.
No, I haven't talked to. We might have to retire Light the Beam after this year.
Oh.
This is it. Like, what are we going to play it 20 times next year? No. We might have to retire this thing.
Oh, you guys just
on the way of Flipside.
RIP Flipside. Yeah. Just for you guys, you don't mean the Beam entirely.
No. Okay. No, I hate the Beam. Like the Beam, the amount of times I have shown up to the arena with people who just desperately want to see that purple light shine in the sky, but don't get to. It's terrible. Like, it is heartbreaking to leave, and they look up and it's just sky. It's awful. So I've grown to, that has happened so many times that I hate the Beam.
It's hurt you.
Yes. And every time I just keep running back to it because I'm here for it, but they're not. It's hurtful.
Sorry, man.
It's hurtful.
What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
Probably a lot of this. I think Domas, I've always advocated, Domas needs to be more aggressive on the offensive end. He's been more passive on the offensive end. We'll talk about stuff like that. And, you know, Detroit 6 games over .500.
Come on.
No, think about that, Kings fans. The Detroit Pistons.
My Pistons.
Kyle Mattson's Detroit Pistons. Yeah, so we'll talk about how all that ties together.
All right, very good.
Plus James Hamm.
James Hamm, 3 o'clock.
Yep.
Right on. James Hamm also tomorrow on this radio station at 10 a.m. with The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. I'm Kyle Mattson. He's James. D'Lo and KC coming up next. Until tomorrow at 10 a.m., drink water, be nice to people. Bye.